Exodus 28, we are still considering the garments of the high priest, and God tells us a little bit about the garments of his son, because the priesthood only was descended from Aaron. The Levites, they had several sons, but Aaron, the priesthood, only his sons in the direct line. So tonight, let me read to you from verse 36, again about the mitre or the turban, and perhaps the coat. And thou shalt make a mitre, a plate, this is the plate for the mitre, of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord, and thou shalt put it on a lace of blue, and it shall be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt weave the coat in checker work of fine linen, and thou shalt make a mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make a girdle the work of the embroiderer. Now, and for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coat, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and head tires shalt thou make for them for glory and beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and upon his sons with him, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover the flesh of their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they go in unto the tent of meeting, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and unto his seed after him. Please notice that they bear not iniquity and die, but up concerning the mitre, in verse 38 it says, he shall bear the iniquity of the holy thing. Bearing iniquity, not bearing iniquity, well, we'll see about it as we go along. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for this man Aaron with all his imperfections, how much we learn, whether he is perfect or imperfect. We are thankful for one that is greater than Aaron, as he is greater than Jonah, as he is greater than Solomon. We are thankful for all that we see of him in these imperfect examples that thou dost set before us in thy word. We pray, Lord, that we shall see Jesus, that we shall understand him, that we shall know his person and his work, and not be able to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. But, as he said to that church, he said, you have held fast my name, and have not denied my faith. We pray that this shall be true, as we consider these things concerning him. Thou knowest our sins, attend to them, Father, as the sins of Israel were attended to by Aaron. Thou hast promised to do this. And our Father, prepare hearts and lips that the word may be spoken and bear fruit abundantly. Hear us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I have to try to fill in as best I can without telling you everything about these various garments that the high priest wore. And now, concerning this mitre or this turban with the plate of pure gold upon it, this is how it is described in verse 6 of chapter 29. It is called the Holy crown, the holy crown upon the mitre. Now, here are three words, and I'll simply tell you the meaning of those words and see what comes before it. It says that there is a mitre, and there is a crown, and there is a plate, and you'll find that this holy crown, this plate, this mitre, you find three words. You find the word sacred, you find the word flower, and you find the word Nazarite. You can't tell it by reading it in the English, but you look at it in the Hebrew, and this plate that they put on his forehead is translated flower again and again, a beautiful flower. And so that plate of pure gold upon his forehead is called a flower. And the crown, the holy crown, is the word that is translated Nazarite in Numbers chapter 6. How remarkable. And when it says holy to the Lord, this is the same root word that you find in Psalm 106. It speaks of Moses, the prophet of the Lord, and Aaron, his saint. And it is the same root word. And so, holy to the Lord, here is Aaron, God's saint. And you have the crown, here is Christ, the Nazarite. And you have also the plate of pure gold, which is the flower. And all of these things are so suggestive, and they're so beautiful, because they tell us something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is what I want you to understand, first of all. It's this, that concerning different parts of his body, it mentions his shoulders, and it mentions his heart, and now it mentions his forehead, and it says that this plate of pure gold shall be upon his forehead. And it tells us why. Because of the mitre, and because of that plate upon it, it says, Aaron shall bear the iniquity of the holy thing. Now, I'm so glad that God finally gets to a man. Think, in the scripture, if I told you of Moses taking the rod and smiting the rock, who is that rock that was smitten? You say, the rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. And so we have a rock, and here is a rock that is smitten, and out of that rock comes abundance of water. Here is a lamb, and that lamb is sacrificed and offered upon the altar. Who is that lamb? You say, why, Christ is the Lamb of God. And here is a priest, and this priest makes expiation for the sins of the people. Who is this priest? You say, why, that priest is Christ. So notice what God has done. He has given us a lifeless stone, and yet with a lifeless thing that is smitten, he says, this is my son, atoning for sin. He takes a dumb beast, a brute creature, and he has it sacrificed, and that bears sin, and that is Christ. But that is not enough. Just as in Luke 15, you have three lost things. You have a lost coin, and you have a lost sheep, and you have a lost son. And a coin, like a stone, is a lifeless thing. And you have a sheep that is an animal, but a brute beast. And then you have a son that is created in the image and likeness of God. And here, the Lord is showing the death of his son with inanimate objects and animals, and finally, a man that is made in the image and likeness of God. And this one is called the saint. And it says upon this plate, this flower upon his forehead, it says this, holy to the Lord. And that's what the angel said about him before he was born. That holy thing that shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And here is Aaron, blazoned upon his forehead, holy to the Lord. And if I ask you, well, is that stone that was smitten, that rock that was smitten, is that a picture of Christ? Yes. And is the lamb a picture of Christ? Yes. Well, is this man a picture of Christ? You say yes. And so in all instances, whether it's inanimate, whether it's an animal, or whether it's a man, God has it being smitten, it bearing sin, and when that is dealt with, then the blessing of God flows. But here we see ultimately what has to be done, not by a lifeless creation of God, a beast of God's creation, but one of whom it is said, a body hast thou prepared me. And in it we find that Aaron shall bear the iniquity of the holy things of the children of Israel. He shall bear the iniquity of the holy things of the children of Israel. Now think of this. As sophisticated as it is in the concept, you have the children of Israel bringing animals, and it was the priest's responsibility to look over that animal to see that it was without spot and without blemish, that the ritual was carried out according to God's prescription. And if anything were wrong with that animal, it says that Aaron is going to bear the iniquity of the holy thing. But when he bears the iniquity, he does not die. He assumes the responsibility, and this is what is so precious, that the animal of itself has no expiatory value to it unless it is both dedicated and offered by the priest. If a man came with a spotless animal, he could not offer it upon the altar. And if he came with an animal that was blemished, the high priest would not offer it upon the altar, but ultimately everything devolved upon Aaron, the high priest. And that is why, if I were an Israelite in the days of Aaron, I know how greatly I would value Aaron, because without him, there could be no forgiveness of sin. On that Day of Atonement, there was only one who could go in, and God declared that my sins were atoned for, and that was the high priest. And if I were a Roman Catholic today and believed what they did, how precious would the priest be to me, because he is the only one through whom my sins can be forgiven. But it is not now the time of Aaron, and it is not now the need of an earthly priest, but we have this priest, and we are all priests. And the one who has atoned for sins and cared for them and dealt with them effectually is the one who is symbolized by Aaron, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I told you that upon his shoulders and heart, and now upon his forehead. And his forehead speaks of his determination, his purpose, his immovability, because that is what the scripture speaks of. And the Lord Jesus Christ set his face as a flint. And it says that the face of the Lord Jesus was going toward Jerusalem. There was nothing that could turn him from his purpose. And so when it speaks of the head and the forehead of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is that holy determination. It is the Lord Jesus who said, I must. The Savior understood that it was absolutely essential that he go to Jerusalem and die. And this is what his forehead speaks of, the determination, the dedication, and also his forehead depicts what he is, the essence of Christ, the purpose of Christ, the person of Christ, and his whole person has this upon it, holy to the Lord. And upon that head, it says, the iniquities of the children of Israel are upon that head. Now, I would like to think that Aaron bore them all upon him, but he did not. But think of this. If there was something wrong with the sacrifice, then anything that was wrong with it, it says the iniquity was upon the head of Aaron. And so ultimately, he was responsible for the doing away of the sin of the children of Israel. And that is why it says it was laid upon his head. And here, he bears iniquity, but he does it representatively, and he does not die. But if they do not carry out the ritual and wear the proper clothing, it says they shall bear iniquity and die. But it's the same thing. Bear iniquity. And that is why it is so essential to have a high priest. Not Aaron, and not any Catholic priest or any other earthly mediator today, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Aaron alone could atone for the sins of Israel under God's economy of the Old Covenant. And only Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he is the one who has upon him, he bore in his own body our sins. And that is what God is trying to tell us. And so here is Christ, and the mitre speaks especially of him who is pointed out as the saint of God, the one who is consecrated, the one who is set apart, the one who is distinct from every other Israelite. His sons were dressed somewhat like he was, but Aaron was the one that was distinct. And what is so distinct about Aaron in this is that it speaks about upon his head. It speaks about the bearing, the making expiation for the sins of the children of Israel. That's all I want to tell you about that for now. Perhaps more later as time goes on. But I want to mention the other thing that we read about. Look concerning this in verse 40. And it says, for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and head towers shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. When you look at Aaron's sons, you see them in fine twine linen, and they look a little like their father, but not like their father when he is in his garments of glory and beauty. If you saw Aaron in his garments of glory and beauty, you would look upon him and you would see blue and purple and scarlet and gold, and you would see amethyst and opals, and you would see onyx stones. You would see all of these beautiful stones glittering upon his breast, and the onyx stones are reflecting the light of the sun if he were out where people could see him. All of this beautiful display. You would see that beautiful blue robe of the ephod. How colorful was Aaron in his garments of glory and beauty. But if you saw Aaron in the morning, first thing, or if you saw Aaron on the morning of the seventh month and the tenth day, instead of being colorful, he would be colorless. Because on that day, there was a different set of garments that Aaron wore. He never, when he made atonement on the Day of Atonement, at the first, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he never had on his garments glory and beauty. It tells you the special garments, and I'll let you look at those. We'll come back to this, but turn to Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16, and this is the way that they're described. Now understand that all of his garments, whether they are the garments of glory and beauty, they are described as the holy garments, but there is a special set of holy garments, and let's read about this in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1. And it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of his two sons, the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near, and so forth and so on. And then he tells them how to draw near. Verse 2, it says, speak unto Aaron thy brother that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Herewith shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. They are the holy garments, and they shall bathe his flesh. Now, what garments are missing? You say, It doesn't mention the breastplate, and it doesn't mention the ephod, and it doesn't mention the robe of the ephod. Why, of course not. How colorless was Aaron when he made atonement for the nation of Israel on the Day of Atonement. How colorful he was at other times in his garments of glory and beauty, but how colorless he was on the Day of Atonement. Because God speaks of linen, the holy linen garment, the linen breeches, the linen coat, the linen girdle, the linen mitre. And if you look up these words, there is so much, I won't go into all the details, but you look, and though you cannot tell exactly what the material is, you get involved in the word, the thought of to bleach. And if something is bleached, at times this word that is translated linen is translated marble. But it is something that is clean and bright, and you have the holy linen garment. And I would like to say they are white, but they are never called white. And yet, what other color could they be? But it never says that. But they are bleached and they are pure, and inasmuch as I see in the New Testament, and I see when Christ is glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration, his garments became glistering as white as light, I will take it that way. But I'm not telling you they're white, because God's word never calls them white. In fact, this word linen, on one occasion, is called blue. That's why you have to be ever so careful before you make statements about it. But here is brightness, and here is colorlessness. Because if you look upon the breastplate, abundance of color. Look upon the ephod, abundance of color. Look upon the robe of the ephod, the beautiful color blue. But look upon these holy garments, and you find no color at all. You have them that are spotless and without color, and this is why it turns out that God presents him this way. Whenever you have fine linen, that is simply Christ in his humanity. Once you start adding colors to it, there are details about his humanity. But when you have simply the fine, fine linen, that is simply God manifest in the flesh, the humanity of Christ. And then you start adding colors, it will tell us in the blue and the purple and the scarlet, it will tell us things about the humanity of Christ. But without any color, God says, I simply want you to look upon my son in his humanity, in the brightness of his humanity, in the spotlessness of his humanity, in the purity of his humanity. And so when the Lord Jesus is dealing with sin, he is illustrated by the high priest, not in garments of glory and beauty, not in all the excellent things that I could tell you about his humanity, because all of the colors tell us glorious things of him, but it is not that Christ ceased to still have those qualities in his humanity. It is simply that they are not the things that God emphasizes to take away sin. But it is the spotlessness, the sinlessness, the purity of the Savior that God says, I want to emphasize before your eyes. This is what enables him to take away sin. If I look at you as you actually are before God, and as I am before God, we would have garments that were spotted and defiled and filthy. And God says, you can bear no sin. You can do nothing to sin. But you look upon this high priest on the Day of Atonement, and you would find not one blotch or blemish. You would look upon him, and his garments would be beautiful and bright and bleached, and he would go into the presence of God to make atonement. And before the day was over, it very well could be that you would find blood on those garments. But when he went in, they were spotless. There was nothing defiled about this man when he went in. Outwardly, the garments were fine twine linen. And it says, he shall wash himself as well. He had to take a bath. He was clean, his body was clean, and the clothing he wore was clean. And this is telling us about our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that no man can do anything about your sins is that he has his own sins to take care of. But the reason that Christ could do things with sins is because he had no sins of his own. And if anyone ever said, was there sin in Jesus? Why, God is showing you in the spotless dress of the high priest that there was no sin in him. If there were sin in him, then he would go into the holy place with linen that had spots on it. But then he could not go into the holy place. He had to be clean to go in, and he had to have blood to go in. But now God is emphasizing in the high priest the fine linen garments, and they were linen wherever you looked. If you looked on his body, it was linen. If you looked at his belt, it was linen. If you were able to look underneath, his breeches were linen. If you looked at his mitre, they were linen. God said, I want you to see a spotless, pure, sinless one that is going to deal with sin. And that is what he tells us. Such an high priest became us. And who is he? He's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. He's separate from sinners. And you could mark out Aaron every time by the dress that he wore. And this is what God is telling us about these spotless garments. Now, I want you to see how essential it is and how God takes this concept of dealing with sin. And when he does deal with sin in this respect, it is always with the linen garment. I'm going to show you this now from Leviticus chapter 4. Look at Leviticus chapter 4. I told you that if you saw the high priest when he got up in the morning, you would see him not in his garments of glory and beauty, but I'll show you this, first of all, to give you the complete picture, look at chapter 1, first of all, chapter 1, verse 16, and he shall take away the crop with the feathers thereof and cast it beside the altar on the east part in the place of the ashes. Now, chapter 4. Chapter 4, and look at verse 11. It says, and the skin of the bullock and all its flesh, with the head and with the legs and with the inwards and its dung, even the whole bullock, shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire where the ashes are poured out. Shall it be burnt? Look, without the camp, in a clean place where the ashes are poured out. Now, chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning thereon. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and he shall take up the ashes whereto the fire hath consumed the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. You say, that's remarkable. I would think that if he were going to deal with ashes, he would put on some garment other than that linen, that bleached, that bright colored garment. But God says, that's the garment that he has to put on. Why? Because this burnt offering is the consummation of the lamb that was put on in the morning and between the evenings. It is still a sacrifice or sin for the nation of Israel that he's dealing with. And it says concerning the burnt offering, it shall make atonement for him. He shall be accepted because of this burnt offering. And God said that burnt offering has to be offered every morning and every evening. And when the ashes are on the altar, you'll say, well, what are they? Why, the animal is gone. Why, this is one of the most precious truths in the Word of God. Let me ask you this. If you have Christ as the Lamb of God, and he is put upon the brazen altar in the morning, whole, then at what time in Christ's life is this? You say, the only time that Christ bore the fire of God's wrath was when he was on the cross. And after so many hours upon that brazen altar, that lamb was reduced to ashes, and then the fire could burn it no more. At what time was that? You would say, well, that would have to be when Christ ended his suffering on the cross. Why, of course it would. And this is the marvel, that God is able to show us his Son at the beginning of his sufferings on the cross. That's when the whole animal is put there. And then when Christ said, it is finished, that is when Christ was reduced to ashes by the fire. And that's why God says that this strange ritual is to be carried out, because if they were ordinary ashes, why would the priest have to put on this special garment, this linen garment, and why would he have to take the ashes from the altar and put them on the side of the altar and leave them there for a length of time? And having done that, go and gather them again and take them without the camp unto a clean place. Because what God is telling us is precisely what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. He was on the cross of Calvary for those hours and those hours of darkness. And finally, when he said, it is finished, the Savior was no longer that whole lamb. He was the lamb that was reduced to ashes, and the fire could do nothing else. The sacrifice had been accepted, and the fire had done its work, and all the suffering had been endured by Christ, and now the ashes represent the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those ashes are reverently taken, and they are placed on the east side of the altar, and east is the side of hope, the side of sun rising. And what happened to Christ's body when he was on the cross? Jesus said, well, he was taken and put in a clean linen cloth. Of course he was. And then he was put in a tomb, Joseph's new tomb, where a never man had laid. And after that, what happened? You say, on the third day, he ascended to his Father. I see. And so you had him on the cross, and then you had him in the tomb, and then you had him in the presence of God. And you had this animal on the brazen altar. And then you had it off the brazen altar on the east side of the altar. And then you have it taken without the camp to a clean place. Isn't that remarkable? A clean place. And then the ceremony ends. And here is the Lord Jesus on the cross. And here he is taken from the cross. And he's placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And then the Lord Jesus, the third day, rises from the dead, and he ascends into the presence of God. He is without the camp, in a clean place. And God showed the death and resurrection of his Son every day of the year when the Israelites were going through the wilderness. Every morning they got up, then God had accepted the sacrifice, had reduced it to ashes, and it was on the east side of the altar, the side of hope. My soul shall rest in hope. And Christ rested in hope for those 3 days. And then the ashes were taken from the side of the altar, and they were taken without the camp to a clean place, and they were poured out. And now the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God. And this is what the Lord is telling us. That is why I laugh at all the modernists who come and tell me that we do not know the text of the Bible, we cannot be sure that the Bible is inspired, and yet God has drawn these pictures in such a way that it cannot be led astray, the child of God who looks at them. And so this is what the Lord is telling us in the holy linen garment. It's the dealing with sin. It's the atoning of sin. And that is dealt with by the death, the burial, the resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. The ashes. Let me tell you this now. Understand that without the camp can mean two things. It can mean a place of uncleanness, because the leper was to be without the camp. The camp was clean, the leper was without the camp. But also, without the camp, there was a clean place. And apart from the people of God, there was a clean place in heaven at God's right hand, and that is where the Lord Jesus is. And so here, God has told us the things that were going to transpire when God was manifest in the flesh. And the holy humanity of the Savior is depicted in these holy linen garments that Aaron the high priest wore. When he wore them And when he wrought the work of the ash ritual, whenever he did it on the Day of Atonement, these garments were the garments that were worn. The colorful Savior and the colorless Savior. Colorless, dealing with sin. Colorful, the garments of glory and beauty, is resurrection glory. That's all I want to tell you tonight. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that there was one who, without these garments, was spotless and pure. We remember that on the cross, the Lord Jesus was stripped of his garments. He hung naked upon the cross, and yet with all the defilement and spittle of man upon him, there was no one so pure and clean and holy as thy Son. We are thankful that thou hast shown us this faulty, sinful man, Aaron, with these garments. Thou dost suggest to us what Christ was within and without. And then, Father, thy Son was reduced to ashes. Him who knew no sin, thou didst make to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we are thankful that he was taken down from the cross. And we are thankful, Father, that he rose from the tomb, and he is now at thy right hand. We thank you for all the things that thou dost tell us in word and picture. We thank you for our great high priest who became us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.